I'll be too nervous to. I'll probably lost for words.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Lost for Words betting podcast. We're coming to you at just after 1 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, the day before the first round of the 2024 Masters. We're recording it just before 10 past one. This won't go live probably until about 6:30 tonight, just through work and things like that. But Brad, we're back in. We're looking at the Masters special markets in particular. Mm-hmm. We obviously had a bit of a discussion on the podcast on Monday and sort of alluded to potentially some of the picks that we look of. But over the last sort of couple of days, is there anything that's really kind of caught your eye? Anything that's changed the way you're thinking? Tee times, weather, anything like that that's really affected anything?
No, other than I'm hoping the weather, you know, obviously it's not looking good for Thursday at the moment. There could be some delays, which obviously makes the first round leader market that all bit difficult because you don't know if it's going to get we're going to lose most of the day's play. Friday also looks pretty nasty, thankfully dry, but the winds are up still. So yeah, I think when it's like this, I think if you're going to play the first round leader market, which I mean, it's the US Masters, you've got to have a few first round leader bets, right? Even when it does look a little bit volatile like this, I think it's best to split between both waves.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, I was on the way back from work and you texted me yesterday and you sort of said, you know, just looking at the first round leaders, what do you think of the sort of wave split? And look, I spend probably more time than I'd like to admit on the first round leader market. I spent hours on that article last night for Oddschecker and yeah, like I always try and get a sense of the wave splits. It's so hard. You've got all these different weather websites, all these different weather stations. Like you can put in Augusta, Georgia, but you could get one that's 30 minutes away from the course, one's 10 minutes away, whatever. So I used there was a airport that's near Augusta National that's 15-minute drive away. So I used that. You said, it's just wind. Like all this, like forgetting about the thunderstorms that are probably going to cause delays. It's the wind that's going to batter everybody. And I'd already said to you, hadn't I, that I didn't think there was a draw bias in the sense of just looking purely at tee times in the past. And you know, we've seen some afternoon starters do it, seen some morning starters. So it's not one of those where you go, oh, morning starters always prosper here. So I was probably always going to split across the two waves anyway. But as you said, with the delays, you're picking a morning starter, but that's really an afternoon starter probably by the time the delays happened. And if that was the case, and if Friday was really clear, I'd probably be leaning towards
the afternoon ones, that's what I was thinking at first. I was like, oh, well, if Friday's dry and, you know, the winds aren't as up, then, the afternoon ones would be the way to go. You just bank on it being a weather delay. That'd be the way to go.
So, yeah, so I think if I was going, if anyone said to me, look, I want to put a gun to your head, like, you've got to pick a wave, I'd probably pick the afternoon. Thankfully, no one needs to put a gun to my head to do that, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to split across the two waves. Brad, I don't know if you saw my tweet yesterday. I put out a couple of trends for the first round leader market at the Masters. Again, spent way too long looking into this. I actually made a mistake the first time when I put it out. Brett Wetherich, 2007, last debutant to lead here after round one. He co-led with Justin Rose, which is why I missed it. So previously, before that, it was Chris DeMarco that had led in 2001. So they're the two debutants since 2001 that have led after round one. Justin Rose in 2004, Mark Leishman 2013, Jordan Spieth 2015 have all done it on their second start. But they'd all played, I think Leishman hadn't broken par, but Jordan Spieth and Justin Rose had in their previous start. And then all the other first round leaders at Augusta had played 2+ Masters. So even when you look at Dylan Fratelli in 2020 is a really unlikely co-lead. You look at Alvaro Quiros as a really unlikely co-leader. They've played 2+ times. They might have played shit, but they've played 2+ times. So with that in mind, Brad, I very much focused my attention on people that have played here in the past. When I got to longer odds, I did pick two players, one that's only played it once and one that is making his debut. But for the most part, focused on the more experienced players. So as I know I've got the shortest of the lot, I'll kick things off. I've taken Xander Schauffele. You know, you made your case for him to win. You're very keen on him to win this week. We know that potentially there's struggles on Sundays, but one thing that's not with Xander Schauffele is round ones. Eighth in round one scoring this season, second in scoring average, eighth in birdie average, fifth in birdie or better percentage, and second in bogey avoidance is absolutely the perfect recipe for it all. When you look at where he's led after round one, the Tour Championship, under 72 scoring leaderboard 2019, the 2023 US Open, 2024 Players Championship, three big events. He's done it at others as well, obviously. He generally, Brad, has ranked inside the sort of top 20 or so in round one scoring average pretty much most of his career on the PGA Tour. Fourth last year. I think he's inside, as I said, eighth this year, seventh in 2020, 2021, 18th in 2019, 2020, 20th in 2017, 2018. And then he's been outside those in a couple of years either side of that. But generally speaking, just unbelievable in the first round. So that was the main premise of it. You then look at the 2019 Masters, shot second round 65 to put himself in one of the lead. He opened with a 67 in 2020 to sit two shots shy of the first round lead. And he's got six rounds of 6-8 or better in six appearances. So he's averaging at least 168 every single time he's played here. I think the two times he didn't, 2018, on his debut, he didn't hit 6-8 or better. In 2022, missed the cut. But otherwise, plenty of rounds of 6-8 or better. So with all that in mind, I played him. He's going off in that...
got great three free ball, which isn't in the feature groups.
Yeah, really weird, isn't it? He's playing with Scheffler and Rory, but it's not a feature group, and it's in the morning, which will actually be the afternoon. Xander played with Rory in the opening rounds of this event in 2021, and he beat him in both rounds, and he's actually beaten him in 15 of the 29 rounds they've played together. So
I like that.
He's got the beating of him now. Scheffler's a different story. He's 1-5 against Scheffler when they're paired together, but he did shoot a 63 in round two of the Tour Championship when he was playing with Scheffler. And, you know, Scheffler's only broken 70 twice when paired with him. It's because they generally speaking play together in tougher tournaments. So I'm not too worried about that. So that is my case for Xander Schauffele, Brad.
Hell of a case, yeah. And I'd be quite happy if he was to land first round leader, if it meant he was to go on and win as well.
I think maybe
you should have that little bet.
I should.
First round leader and win. I don't know what odds it'd be. Just as a saver.
I wonder if they do it. There's normally Bet365 do that, don't they? And
there's a few that do it.
If I was going to bet him, that would probably be the way I'd do it. I think, as I sort of said, you do have to be right in the mix after day one to win here anyway. Tiger was the furthest back and he was kind of inside the top 20 anyway. So you don't really want to be starting the way back, and Xander starts fast. So
yeah, I can't see him wire to wire. He would start off hot and then have a bad round and then sort of come back into it towards the end. So yeah, first round leader and win.
Yeah, I like that. Brad, I'll let you introduce your first one, our second one, as he's
Well, Cameron Young, which you made a great case for on Monday. And I mean, I agree with it all. I think he's got a good chance this week. And what we know about Cameron Young is that he loves to come out hot. I mean, I think he has been first round leader five times across his career, like on the Korn Ferry Tour and PGA Tour. He's always there or thereabouts. He's been inside the top five numerous occasions. So yeah, even each way value, it's just a great bet because we just know what he's like. He comes out hot, and he did it last year, didn't he? He came out with a 67, and he was sitting. Where was he after round one? Hold on, he was fourth after round one. So yeah, and he's coming off a second place where he came through the field at the Valspar. Yeah, he should have won, whatever. He didn't. He still played really well, and he'll be coming into this in great spirits. So he could just come out hot again, and I think he's a great bet this week in both markets.
Yeah, as you said, you know, perennially fast starter. 15 times in his career, he's been within two of the first round lead, and that obviously includes the first round leads in reference there, the five of them. Two shot lead he had in round one of the 2022 Open Championship. I love the fact he's kind of experienced being in the lead after round one at a major in the past. Round one of 67 last year, round four of 68 in round four. And this is his third start on the golf course. I love that 2+ starts. He was terrible in the first go, figured it out the second time. That's all you need to see. He's already led the Dubai Desert Classic this season, hasn't he? First three rounds, he was the leader there. The Open was 67-8th in Phoenix, a 65 at the Cognizant Classic, hit third. And then he finished second at the Valspar on his last start. Afternoon starter or morning Friday starter probably at this point, Brad. But playing with Adam Scott and Sam Burns, which I think on the face of it looks a decent pairing for him. He's played with Adam Scott five times, beat him on three occasions and tied him on another. Whilst Sam Burns has got the better of him for the most part, not too concerned about that. Probably a time where Sam Burns was quite hot. And, you know, these two, I think, are fairly similar in the sense that I think they can get off to fast starts and go low and similar profile players. So I think they'll actually feed off each other if they can both get going. Hopefully my outright on Sam Burns can come back from the dead. But I think that might still be dead at this point. But yeah, that's the kind of line of thing with Cameron Young. I think he's probably, as I say, you don't want to get too caught up. I was worrying him going all in on a player that's never won before, and now I think he's going to win a major and lead it from the front in the first instance. But it is what it is. They're the things that are presented to me. That's the way I've gone. Just for reference, Brad, 70s ones down the Shoffley, first round lead and win.
70s.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, not bad at all.
There's an option for you. Brad, who's the Englishman that's going to get us all excited on Thursday?
I think it's going to be Tommy Fleetwood because his ball striking has just been brilliant coming into this. Obviously, he's coming off a seventh at the Texas Open. I'm thinking he can carry on that momentum into this week, at least get off to a good start. But I think he could also have a really good event. His last major, the Open, British Open, he was first round leader, Open with a 66. That's the second time he's been first round leader of the Open. He's also been two-time first round leader at the Players. So he can come out hot in these big events. He's yet to do it at the Masters. But what I like is there have been some really good spike rounds. There's been like, he's yet to come out hot, but he's shot 66 twice. So we know he can do it. It's just whether he does come out hot, and he has done in the past elsewhere. We know Tommy can be a fast starter, and again, a bit like Shafley, he's not the best in contention. But yeah, so I feel like it's a good bet this week with Tommy. I think he's obviously going out in the afternoon as well, which we say if there is going to be an advantage, it could well be the afternoon. And we know if it is, well, we know it's going to be windy, and Tommy Fleetwood is an excellent wind player. So that's another thing that crept into my head. So yeah, I really like Tommy Fleetwood to come out hot and be first round leader.
Like it. Just a general note here as well. The three bookmakers paying the best place terms on first round leader, Unibet, BetMGM, BetUK are all 7 places, 150 odds. Generally speaking, it's 6 places, and there's a couple that are still just 5.25 of the odds. But interestingly, Xander Schauffele, 25-1 best price, and that's available on Unibet and BetMGM and BetUK. So you can get that with the 7 places and all of those. Cameron Young, I think the best price on him right now is 50-1, but that's only 5 places. You can still get 45-1, 6 places. And then Tommy Fleetwood there, generally around the 40-45-1 mark, and he's 40-1, 7 places on those two, Unibet, BetMGM, and BetUK as well, so 3. So good little mix of place terms there. Next up for me, Brad, so I mentioned him in the outright thing, didn't get there from an outright, but I think Jason Day can get off to a fast start here. He's done it a couple of times before at the Masters. He's 50-1 with the 7 places, which I like. He opened with 67 here last year, sitting 4th place after round one. And that's the second time he opened with that score at the Masters. He did the same in 2015, but he's actually 3 back with Jordan Spieth. In the first round, he played so well there, obviously, Spieth, but he was in 2nd place. So that's 2 times he's been inside the top 4 at the Masters after round one. And he's just, He's not prolific in round one by any means, but he has put second round 64s together, two 67s in 2019, and the two opening scores, as I mentioned, in 2015 and 2023. So he can go low. And when you look at this season, it's been a bit up and down for him, hasn't it? I know you were on side with him at Riviera, but he opened the century with a 65, so he's in second place after round one. Same score he opened with at Riviera to sit in the same position. At the Genesis Invitational. So that's two opening rounds of 65 already this season, which is really promising. Then he opened with a 67 at the Players. And I really like what you mentioned there about Tommy Fleetwood and starting fast in majors and the Players. Like, I use the Players as an up barometer as well. I just think that any time it's the best of the best together, it's a good time to have a look. And
yeah,
he played well there earlier in the year. So I like that. The one thing I think people might be a little bit concerned about is playing with Tiger Woods. Comes with a big crowd, obviously. But Day's actually beaten Tiger in 9 of the 12 rounds they played together. Now, that's probably not a surprise, given that the amount of times that Day would have played with Tiger when he's probably not at his best, or not fit, or whatever. But he actually sort of 66 when playing with him at the 2015 British Open in round one. And after the two rounds of Tiger playing with him, Tiger said he could go on and win the tournament. He obviously didn't, but he was close enough to it. So I think he's really come to, I'm pretty sure they're good friends, Tiger and Jason Day, or at least have a lot of mutual respect for each other. So I'm not too worried about the distraction there. He's also played three rounds with Max Homer, Brad. All three of them come to the 2022 Wells Fargo Championship. Kicked off the week with a 63 to lead after round one. Backed it up at 67. And then we know he shot that 79 to kind of fall out of contention in round three. And Homer went on to win the event, or at least contend. But yeah, like I just think it looks like a really comfortable pairing for him. Very mature player, been here a million times already, Brad. So given what he's done this season with a couple of 65s to kick off round one, I don't think a 65 is going to be out there this with this weather, but 66 will probably do it, I think.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot, mate.
Now we've got a mix of players, haven't we? I think they're all in the kind of triple digits here. So not too worried about the order. So if you come next with your one with the Great Dane, I think we'll call it.
Yeah, the Great Dane, Thunder Bear, Hollison, who I think we will be talking about a little bit more later on. But as for first round lead, I thought, why not chance him again? Someone who's just going to welcome the tough conditions, coming off a really good result last week in Texas. And he's not been that prolific. He's not one you sort of go, oh, he comes out hot, is he? But he's still been six times first round leader in his career, more so in the early part of his career. But yeah, he's already been in the top seven three times this year after round one, which is good. And he's led a major before, the USPGA back in 2017. So I think that's huge. He opened up with a 67 again in tough conditions. He did fail to back that up, but I think he's a more experienced player now. Obviously now he's playing on the PGA Tour for the first time in his career, and I just really trust him. You know, I do. I just feel like he's not going to be, he's going to take all the. He's not going to let the emotions get the better of him, and he's coming off a really good week, and he's the type to sort of build on a performance like that. And yeah, again, as I said, with the conditions, I think he's the type of player that will welcome them. And I think he could get off to a good start after his performance last week.
Yeah, so I think, like, as I say, we'll be talking about him shortly anyway in different markets. I think the one pause for me is, as you've already referenced there, is he wasn't the fastest of starters. Even the couple of times he's played well here, it's been after a relatively slow start, and especially as we talked about in his debut, he was really slow, wasn't he, in round one, and then kicked on from there. But these things change, like, very quickly. It doesn't, you know, if you can shoot the low round in round two, you can certainly shoot it in round one, right? So it's all just depends on the conditions. And as you said, he's led that PGA Championship, which I didn't know actually, which is a really good thing to point out. He actually did the same at the Scottish Open. He opened with a 63 and then shot 77 in round two. So
we're
hoping maybe for our benefit that doesn't happen this time around. But what I think is really important with this, and look, it might change people's minds when we get into the triple digits ones. But for me, I didn't want a player that I didn't think would be around the top sort of 10-15 come Sunday. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, as we'll come on to, I think, you know, Wollaston fits in that bracket where I, you know, comfortably think he can get in the mix. Because when you look at it, like the first round leaders typically still remain inside the kind of top 10. You go back to, you know, Chris DeMarco finishing 10th 2001. You had Darren Clark finishing 28th after first round leader, Justin Rose 22nd, Brett Ritterich 37th, Rose 36th. Seems to be Rose that kind of blows it. Alvaro Quiroz 27th, Bill Huss 20th, Charlie Hoffman 22nd, Bryson DeChambeau 29th, and Paul Casey 38th. But then you've got a whole host of others. I think it's like maybe 22 of them or more that are just always, you know, stay within the top 10 all week, finish it in that way. And I think that's really important, is focusing on guys that not only you think can get off to a fast start, but you do think have the staying power. Because I think to get off to a fast start here, you've got to have the mentality that you're good enough to hang around. Exactly. So I think that kind of explains why we've gone with the players that we've gone with so far. I'll give my next two, and then I'll let you finish off with your final one. Mm-hmm. Nick Taylor. So I was really kind of torn between Adam Hadwin and Nick Taylor, and it's not just because they're both Canadian. I thought they both made their own kind of individual claims. I've gone with Taylor. Look, he's right up there in first round leader scoring average this season. He would be because he opened with a 60 in the Phoenix Open, and the concern is obviously that it's been weighted to that too much. But you look at his last three events, he's opened 69, 66 and 68. So he's been 8th, 4th and 14th after round one. I love the fact, as we sort of mentioned there, that one of those was at the Players' Championship. And he's played it once, Brad, and he was 29th in 2020. Shot a 69 that week as well. So he's not only broken par, but he's broken 70. There is the slight concern that the only evidence we've got is that he's played in November Masters and not an April one. But I actually think the move to this part of the year is beneficial for him. He's not, you know, the longest, so the softer course wouldn't necessarily have suited him that week. Mm-hmm. And then going back to the playing partners, right? He's played with Russell Henley twice. Well, he's played with Russell Henley a couple of times, but twice he shot 65 in the company of him. Round four of the 2024 Sony Open and round two of the 2019 Greenbrier. And he also shot a 64 in round one of the 2018 John Deere Classic when he was paired with Joaquin Neiman. And there is two playing partners this week. So don't ask me why, Brad, at midnight I decided to look into how players play with their current playing partners. I think that was a layer that, one, people should not expect me to add in every single week I do first leader.
Massive, mate.
But it's just... I just wanted to know what, like, because obviously it's a really big week in itself, and what you don't want to do is play with someone you've never played with before, or someone you hate, or someone you know you shoot 75, 77 with every time. So I wanted people to be comfortable with who they were playing with, and that's certainly been the case with all of those. So Nick Taylor, as I said, I keep saying this season he's a bit of an improver, and I do like him. So I think he's going to get off to a nice start on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then this final one, Brad, I mean, I should have gone to bed at this point, but I went with the final one, and it's Matthew Pavon. And the reason I like him, the reason I joke about should have gone to bed, is I got really into the weeds of, like, how can we find, so you're, everyone always talks about Riviera, right? And I was glancing up and down Riviera leaderboards trying to find someone that's, you know, started fast there and could start fast here, and you'll always pick up a couple of names, right? But I wanted to look one a little bit more kind of out there, and what I decided to do is look at where Matthew Pavon has played well. And that happened to be the Open de España twice. Obviously, he broke through there in 2023, but he was second to John Rahm in 2022 there as well. So he opened with 64 the first year to be one shot off of the lead, and then opened with 63 the second year when he went to win. Whether the Open de España has any relevance, but there's been a lot of Spanish Open winners that have done well here. Obviously, the Spanish contingent have all won here, have probably won that tournament. Charles Schwartzel's won it, and go back to Seve and all those, you know, Sergio and all those people. So it comes into the mind there. Then you look at the Dubai Desert Classic. He's been in the mix a couple of times there after round one. You look at the winners of that. Rory McIlroy obviously hasn't won the Masters, but he's always in the mix. Miguel Angel Jimenez has been in the mix. And then the people that have crossed over, Sergio, Danny Willett, Tiger Woods, won both of those. So a good sign he's done well in that. And then I wanted to look at his fast start at the Nedbank. In South Africa, you've got Sergio Garcia, Danny Willett, Trevor Immelman, Nick Faldo, Bernard Langer, Ian Woosnam, Jose Maria Olazabal, Fred Couples, Raymond Floyd and Seve Ballesteros winning both of those events. And Pavon played really well there until the final round where he shot six over. But he was right in the mix again, and it was off the back of a fast start. I know it's getting ridiculous, but here we are. And then this is a little bit like your Ollison shout here. Like, he hasn't played in many majors, right? But 2018, he was two back of the first round lead at the US Open. Mm-hmm. And then the final sort of bows for it. I was sort of thinking, you know, he's followed Rahm around a bit on the DP World Tour. And then you think about the fact he won Torrey Pines, right? Like, shock winner of that event, Farmers Insurance Open. John Rahm dominates that and obviously goes on to win here. I don't think there's necessarily too much correlation in the courses themselves, but just the difficulty of the test and the type of player may well just prosper. Mm-hmm. He looked like he was going to go off the boil a bit, didn't he, Brad? He played really well straight after winning, then struggled a bit. And then he finished top five at the Singapore Classic, got himself some confidence back. And again, playing partners, Brad, this, I definitely should have gone to bed at this game.
Who does Pavon like?
He's played twice with Keegan Bradley, and he shot a 67 when he was paired with him in round three.
That's wild in such like a short time he's played, with Keegan Bradley.
It's mad, isn't it? So he's played with him twice, shot a 67 with him in round three at the Sony Open. Keegan shot a 63. And then he posted a 66 in round three at Pebble Beach to get his own back and beat Bradley by three on that day. So those two obviously, you know, spark off each other. Interestingly, never played with Tyrrell Hatton, which I was surprised about. The only one of any of those picks that I made that didn't have any history with one of the playing partners this week. So hasn't played with Tyrrell Hatton.
Want to see some experience playing with Hatton as well, because he was just him throwing his tantrums.
That's the concern. It's like, is he going to deal with the Tyrrell Hatton?
If it was some like vanilla player, like, I don't know. Oh, God, I can't even. I don't know. Oh, who's even playing his vanilla? So I don't want to insult anyone.
Mike Weir or something like that.
Some neutral. Yeah, it's just because it's Hatton, you kind of worry.
But he's either going to just go like, oh, fuck him, I'm going to get on with it and just shoot six under. Or he could fire him up, or he could just complete this mantle. It's one of the three. I don't think he just goes around and shoots 72. I think he'll either go sort of in the 60s or really struggle. And I quite like the volatility at these prices. Final one for you, Brad.
Right, final one is Gary Woodland, who I'm all in on this week.
which is so strange, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a strange one. I do have these weeks where I just get so set on someone, and it's Gary Woodland this week. And he's just coming off his best round of the year, best ball striking performance. He's got major experience in abundance. He led the USPGA back in 2018. He was eighth when he won the US Open. He's coming back to Augusta. He might have finally cracked it. You know, he had his best finish last year, 14th. And he also opened up with a 68 and was sixth after the first round. So, yeah, that's it. That is it. And he's 125-1. So goes out early. So he's one of my early wave, which I probably would prefer if he was out in the afternoon. But we just don't know how it's going to go. So you need to split it up. And so, yeah, I fancy him to come out hot.
Playing with Ollison, right?
They're both playing together. I'm hoping they're just egg each other on, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think they've ever played with each other before.
You'll be disappointed to learn they've never played with one another. This is what I was looking at. And I wonder if he's playing with Bryson as well, isn't he? They must have.
I feel like they'll get along.
They have to play together. So let's have a look.
Who's the other one in the three? Oh, it's Bryson.
So I did see
that actually, and that nearly put me off because I just feel like everyone's going to be giving Bryson some stick maybe.
Yeah, it's all good. Gary Woodland's beaten Bryson in five of the nine meetings, so they've not talked between them. Texas, Woodland shot a 67 to Bryson's 76. In the US Open, round one, Woodland shot a 69 and Bryson shot a 71 in 2022. So major experience to get
rid of. Levels above him. Love it. So,
there you go. Nice little boost to that. So those last three... So Pavon at 125-1, Gary Woodland 125-1, Nick Taylor is 100-1 as well. So, you know, good mix. Nick Taylor is 100-1 to seven places. The rest of them are all six places. Mm-hmm. Top 20s, Brad.
Top 20s.
Anyone that has seen the Sporting Life article that Ben puts out, he kindly invites me on to to put a selection on there, and I put up Thorbjørn Olesen earlier in the week. So as we keep referencing him, I keep saying I'm going to come back to him. Mm-hmm. Very, very straightforward case for me. Sixth on his debut, despite opening with a 78. When he was 44th, he was actually 26th through the first two rounds, and then just sort of slipped out. And then he finished 21st in his most recent start, where he was no worse than 23rd all week and inside the top 14 going into the final round. Really welcome return to form, I thought, last week, Brad, with the ball striking and finishing in 14th place. He was inside the top 10 after two rounds. He was inside the top 10 in Mexico before falling away. His missed cuts haven't been terrible. He's kind of, you know, been on the cut line and just fallen away. And he's already a winner this season. You know? So it's just, I think, coming back to a major that he loves, Brad, Thorbjørn Olesen, top 20 for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I completely love that. I'm taking him in another market. So yeah. I think you can take him in a few markets this week. Just is another player that's just getting a lot of people's attention for the right reason. Yes. You'll be surprised to hear my top 20 selection. You'll be really surprised. I'm going to sound like a broken record here. But yeah, it will be Gary Woodland.
No way. 16.
Yeah, I know, right? And I haven't actually put this bet up, but it is probably the best and safest way to play Gary Woodland this week. I mean, I gave my reasons on Monday and just a little bit earlier. I do think 250-1, 10 places, there is enough. There's plenty of juice there to chance him, but it's much easier to envision him finishing in the top 20, which he did last year for the first time in 11 appearances. And yeah, I'd still want to believe in the fairy tale Woodland victory, but if you can't get on board with that, which I don't blame anyone who doesn't, then yeah, take the top 20.
Absolutely. A couple of others that caught my eye, Nick Taylor, I've referenced in the first round leader market. I think he could hang around and finish on top 20. He's 9-2, the same as Thorbjørn Olesen. As you've referenced, Gary Woodland's 6-1 for a top 20.
What are the odds on Woodland miss cut? I might need a little save.
Yeah, we'll have to have a little boost in that. I'll have a look at those. any kind of, I guess they're like some longer shots, Brad. Any in the top 20 market where we think, like, if you just want to get someone absolutely certainty through it?
I really like Siwoo Kim. Really do. He's just been really steady here over the years, and he's just been like a level of consistency. I think he's nearly, he's just over 2-1.
Yeah.
So yeah, I quite like that. But I also quite like him in the top Korean market as well at the same price. And you only have to beat
the Koreans.
Sung Jae, Tom Kim and Benny Ahn, who are all playing crap right now. So yeah, that's probably the best way to play him.
Yeah. I think, you know, we're not going to get any points for originality on these ones. I think, Russell Henley is, you know, really solid, isn't he?
Yeah.
Top 20, that's kind of where I would play him. I know there's a lot of interest in him each way with the extra places, but I think the...
Yeah, love that shot.
The price of him, actually, he's a little bit over 2-1, I think, when I last...
He's just under, I think.
Just under, 9-5 he is, there we go. But yeah, I think he's good. Patrick Reed also, 21-10, obviously I'll take him in the outright market. Top debutant, Brad. I think this is a really, really interesting one. Obviously, people
are going to put interesting market. Yeah. I love this market though. Imagine if we had this every week for every tournament, like top debutant for like the Cognizant Classic or something like that. You know, just something random. It'd just be such a good market. Anyway, besides the point, we only get it for the majors.
We do, but I think we're getting some really good value here because look, I can't see both of Aberg and Wyndham Clark being outside the top four, which are the each way terms for the top debutant market, right? So I think, you know, one of those is probably going to be in the frame. Whether I think they're going to actually be the top debutant, I don't know. Yeah. I think that there's a lot of expectation.
Wyndham Clark looked really confident. Well, he sounded, sorry. Yeah. And looked really confident in his interview over there.
So he's 4-1. Aberg's 10-3. But then after that, you get some crazy prices. I've already mentioned why I like Matthew Pavon. I think 18-1 for top debutant, four places, is really solid. And I love the person you're putting up because I think we sort of referenced him on Monday's show.
Yeah, we did. I think I had to have something on Austin Ekro. You know, I've just been really impressed with him. Like he finished last year in strong form, and he's built on it this year, hasn't he? He's just been playing consistently well. only missed one cut from 12 starts, and he got that all-important win. He won comfortably by three shots at the Cognizant Classic, and he followed it up with some steady performances. His iron play has just been sensational, and it is the main reason for his success, but the rest of the game is there as well. And yeah, I just feel like his iron play is just going to be a massive asset to him this week if he's hitting the right areas of the greens. And yeah, he's already impressed in a major as well. Like, he finished 10th, tied 10th at the US Open, which just shows he's not afraid to mix it with the best on the big occasions. And so, yeah, that's a massive pull for me, seeing that. And yeah, I think he just looks great value in this market. As you could make a good case for a few of them, but I think at 20-1, he looks like a really good value. He should be like 14, 12s, I think.
You're getting a lot of recency bias, aren't you? I mean, we were quite intrigued by what Akshay Bhatia would look like at the Masters. He's left-handed. He's got, you know, the game that you think is going to transcend into the majors. Like, I get why he's there. Danny McCarthy is what he is, right? I mean, it's taken him this long to get to the Masters. Is probably what tells you everything you probably need to know at this point. That's not to say that I don't think he can do it. You know, he can get hot. He can putt with the best of them, right? But in terms of skill set, I don't think he necessarily translates to here. Decent amount of support for Jake Knapp on Oddschecker for this market, which I thought was surprising given his form. Obviously big hitter, which I guess in what's drawing people to him. But I really like the Ekro and Pavon shouts. If Eli had sort of held on to his form a little bit, I'd have liked him as well. But slightly concerned with him. Top amateur, Brad, you've got one in here.
Yes, I really like Christo Lambrecht, absolute mountain of a man, number one amateur in the world, plays out of Georgia Tech. He came out hot to lead the Open. He struggled the following days, but got through a cut line, took top amateur there. He's played Augusta a few times before, I think that's one of the perks of going to Georgia Tech. Obviously, will give him advantage over the rest of the field, bar Stuart Hagstead, who just plays here every year now. he's played here three times, but yeah, he wins the mid US amateur, I think, every year, and he always comes back. But he's the danger, because he has had a good finish here, and I think he's finished top 40 in the past. But yeah, Christo is easily the man to beat. He's a special player in the making, and he's already shown it on the big stage.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a lot to argue with that. I think it's a potentially a slightly weaker market, right?
For the
amateurs, and you know, as I say, Lambrecht's done the Open Championship already, so and hits it further than almost anyone, right? So that's the main thing. Top Asian, you know, Siwoo Kim is obviously going to be a danger, but I think Hideki's, you know, decent at 7-5.
It's between them two, isn't it?
Yeah, like Sungjae's just gone. Benny Ann, I don't really think. I guess Tom Kim, you wouldn't want to completely rule out, but he's just not playing.
Do you know what? Heisatsune could just, he's just the type as well. He could just surprise at any point as well. He's a funny player, and he just not afraid to mix it. I really rate him. What I mean is, when I say funny player, I mean, like, you just can't write him off, because he's just got so much ability, and he can just show up out of nowhere. But yeah, obviously it's a massive occasion for him this week, so I wouldn't be brave enough to take him or put him up. But I think it's tough to pick between Matsuyama and Siwoo. Obviously Hideki's just, people fancy him to win it, but I just think Siwoo's just solid, isn't he, at the moment? So I think I would go top Korean instead and just avoid it. Top Korean and top Japanese double.
I guess the thing with that is, I suppose I could probably just not had so much pain to myself by putting Matsuyama in every market just for him to go and finish 37th or something. So do you see a world, Brad, in where Charles Schwartz will beat Christo Lambrecht to top South African, but Lambrecht still gets top amateur?
I could see that, yeah. Because I don't even think Lambrecht needs to make the cut to finish top amateur.
No. And Van Rooyen's 11-10 favourite. I know he's been playing well this season, but tailed off at the really wrong time. He comes into Augusta with a miscut of the Player Championship, which is, you know, probably to be expected. And then a missed cut at Texas where he was inside the top 20 after round one, then shot the second round 76. Played Augusta twice, withdrew after one round of 76 on debut, and then shot 73, 79 in his next one. So that people can improve, but I think it's worth taking on.
Yeah, I think Lamprecht is value though in this market. I think his ceiling is so high, like he could just finish top 30, you know, and Schwartz and Van Roy are not playing all that well.
Yeah,
he could just catch him out.
Yeah, the only thing, because I sort of was writing up the kind of Live golfer odds for the players that were playing in Live on Oddschecker earlier, and sort of got to Charles Schwartz all bottom of the market of the Live players, right, and just went, you know, no real reason to think he's going to do well. But then you look and he, you know, he finished second at the Alfred Dunhill towards the end of the year. He'd been second, I think, at Live Jeddah, right? So he's shown a couple of things in recent starts. He's been, I think, top 10 as recently as 2019 in the Masters, or no, 2022, I think it was. So you know, that is his last four starts here, 25th, 26th, 10th and 50th. I think, Brad, we probably put him up for something like this last year, Charles Schwartz. I seem to remember talking about
Charles Schwartz.
He finished 50th, but there we go.
I never get a run out of Schwartz. He's one of them players for me. I just cannot. Whenever I see, like, even when he like shows up on the DP World Tour and you expect him to go well, he just doesn't.
Any odds against make the cuts? Not that we want to bet, I don't think. Phil Mickelson.
Shall I make my case for our man Olesen again in the top continental European market? So this is how I'm playing Olesen. It's 18-1, three places, top continental Euro, which, you know, it's asking a bit much. I mean, you've got Rahm, Aberg, Hovland, Garcia at the top. The way in which I looked at it is that, I mean, Rahm's obviously could be anything. Like obviously, he's left for Live, and he's defending champion. Look, he could easily show up and win, or it could just be the occasion gets to him and it's just too much on him, you know, and he might just have a terrible, terrible major. Besides the point, that's why I feel like could take him on. It's Ludvig's debut. Hovland's out of sorts. Garcia lost out in a playoff at Live last weekend, missed a four-footer to win. His head could be a bit up his arse. Jaeger debut, also coming off a win, not sure how he'll play. Straka looked poor last time out of the Valspar, hasn't finished better than 30th here in the past. So yeah, and then you've got Olesen, who we've all made a great case for, loves it here. And even if he comes up short, there's three places on offer. I mean, at 3.6-1 a place. So I just think 18-1 each way is a good bet. I mean, Marunk, he's got all the ability to show up here. I don't like Nikolai at all this week. I know he's a brilliant talent, but I actually think the safest way to play Olesen would just be they're the same odds in the top Danish market.
Yeah, that's right.
Matchup, and I just think Højgaard, he's just all over the shop with his short game at the moment. I can just envision him losing so many strokes on and around the greens, and I just feel like him losing his head a bit. Whereas obviously we know with Olesen, he's a safe hand, he's got fantastic attitude, grinds, loves a tough test, and yeah, he won't let the emotions get the best of him. And obviously his course record, he loves Augusta. So I just think we're definitely going all in on Olesen a bit too much. But he just makes so much sense. And I think in this market, he's worth chancing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Brad, Phil Mickelson is 5-4 to make the cut. He's played here 30 times. He's missed the cut three times, and one of them was in 1997. Two of them were 2014, 2016, either side of a second. Mm-hmm. And he's made 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cuts in a row here. And, you know, only one missed cut in God knows how many, you know, before that. I know he's not going to finish second again.
No.
He's only got to get to Saturday. I thought 5-4 to make the cut was a bit... strange ones, really. When you look at the people that there's people that are odds against, starts at Tiger Woods, Zach Johnson, Phil Mickelson, then goes down to the amateurs and the real like 87-year-olds. You know, you've got Grayson Murray 11-10, Bubba Watson evens, Lee Hodges 10-11, and we're looking at Mickelson, who's made what 27 out of 30 cuts here, 5-4. I think that's interesting. If people like that, I'm never going to just do that on its own, right? But like if someone likes a short bet, then I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, no, definitely. I've put him in one of my ACCAs, which I will share.
Let's do that. So just before you do that, Brad, sorry mate.
Yeah, no worries.
Is this? Are we done with all the individuals?
We are done with the individuals. I think.
I think that covers
we've
everything.
We've covered quite a lot. Yeah. I like what we covered as well. I'm feeling pretty confident.
So let's give us your big acronym. This is.
So this is what I've done with Skybet, which are actually the only book that are allowing to combine. I think Bet365 allows you to do a few, but not as many. But Skybet are allowing you to combine the top category and nationalities, so you can have a bit of fun. And as I said about Siwoo Kim earlier, I really like his chances. Top Korean, been rock solid, ridiculous levels of consistency. Obviously, I made a great case for him at the Houston Open. He left it a bit late there, but again, hitting the ball brilliantly. Tee to green, he was fourth. And yeah, he has a steady record at Augusta, 6 made cuts from 7, best finish of 12th coming in 2021. So yeah, I think he looks good for that with Sungjae, Benny Ann and Tom Kim. I mean, they're all top players, but they are well and truly out of sorts at the moment. So they've got to be taken on. Top amateur, Christo Lambrecht. I've already made my case for him. Top Danish against Nikolai Olesen. Just got to take him on there. Nikolai, great talent, but he's just been poor last couple of months. His irons were much better in Texas, but yeah, this is his first time at Augusta and his short game just looks woeful, what I said earlier. So yeah, love Olesen to beat him there. Top left-hander, I've gone Brian Harman, 13-8. Obviously now arrives here a major winner. He was second going into weekend back in 2021, faded to finish tied 12th. And that still remains his best finish. But if he's in that position this time around, I struggle to see him doing that again. That win has officially leveled him up and he has to be respected. He's such a steady player, good course management, loves to grind. I expect him to come out on top in this market. I mean, Akshay Bhatia, he's slightly injured from last week and he'll also be coming down from the highs. It's also his debut. Mickelson and Bubba are always a danger here, but they're not in the best of form. So yeah, Brian Harman looks a standout and we don't have to say anything on Mike Weir. Top senior player, watch Mike Weir finish top. Top senior player, I've gone Phil Mickelson, who has been throwing in some bad rounds recently on LIV, but he still remains the top dog in this market. He showed it last year. He can just turn it on as and when. Still averages over 300 yards off the tee, and he looks fit as a fiddle. He's heads and shoulders above the rest in this market, in my opinion. So yeah, that is it. We've got Siwoo 2-1, top Korean. Christo Lambrecht, top amateur, 15-8. Olesen, 10-11, top Danish, top left-hander. Brian Harman, 13-8, and top senior player Phil Mickelson, 8-15, and that is 56.99 to 1, so nearly 57 to 1.
Yeah,
and I quite like it. Yeah, I think for a bit of a fun Masters bet, I really like it.
What are your thoughts on Wacky Neiman this week?
I think if you bet him anti-post, you know, like you bet him a few months ago at 40 to 1, yeah, 50 to 1, whatever, then I think brilliant. I just think he's got that little bit short now. Obviously he's been dominating on LIV. But I mean, how much do we value that? And that's the question. And I do think he's obviously a good fit here.
Yeah.
So his win at Riviera. I just think he's just that little bit short in the market now. I think he, like, the bookies have caught up with him, you know.
My only question, does he beat Emiliano Grillo and Camilo Villegas?
Yes, probably.
So then maybe do two lots, right? Do the 57s one you just referenced, and then Wacky Neiman at Top South American takes it out to 70, 6-1 as well.
Decent. Like that.
There's an addition. I was kind of, what I was doing was, as you were reading your one out, I was going ahead of you, and I'd gone to Wollaston based on what you'd said. I'd gone to Phil based on, you know, top senior. I can't see anyone challenging him. Yeah. And then I hadn't got to your top left hander. I didn't know where you were going to go with that. And then I got down to top South American, so I thought it was worth adding in. Shall I tell you the most competitive heat is probably top Canadian. Corey Connors, Nick Taylor, Adam Hadwin.
Left that one alone.
That is a minefield, that.
Yeah, it's a minefield. Wouldn't like to pick between them.
Obviously, you've got top American, top English and everything like that, that you're going to obviously be literally more competitive. But that is, I mean, ugh, I don't know where I'd go with that. the only other thing, I don't know if it's actually, they do it on Skybet as well. I considered just doing Patrick Reed for top live player. I know that contradicts betting on Brooks, but as I sort of said on the show, I'm betting Brooks on the exchange, hoping that he just gets the win. If he doesn't get the win, I'm not really interested in worrying about whether he places or anything like that. Patrick Reed, 14-1 for top live player with three places, I thought was interesting. You know, he's obviously got arms to contend with. We just spoke about Neiman there, which led into that as well. But Cam Smith's up and down. I know he's obviously one of the contenders, but I'm not too concerned about Bryson. I think Dustin's not as much of a threat as he used to be here now. Tyrrell Hatton hates the golf course. Sergio Garcia hates majors.
Yeah, Patrick raised the value there. I haven't really given it much of a look, but just looking at it now, like, I'm surprised he's as big as 14-1.
I'm surprised he's below Hatton.
Three places as well.
Yeah.
That's pretty generous.
I know I've just sort of made the case for Phil Mickelson to make a renaissance again. But I think Patrick Reed in there is a good bet. So there we go. There's plenty of thoughts there. not going to, just for time constraints, not going to sit there and recap it all. There's plenty of different parts. Maybe I'll try and timestamp it later on the particular markets. But I mean, we can quickly just recap, I guess, the selection.
I don't mind going through it. I've got mine ready here if you want.
We'll do the selection. So if you want to go for your selections, mate.
Yeah. So first round leader, I've gone Cameron Young with yourself, 45-1. I've gone Tommy Fleetwood, 45-1. Olesen, 100-1. And Gary Woodland, 125-1. And we'll just lead on from your first round leader, bets.
Yeah, Xander Schauffele, 25-1. Cameron Young, I think 40-1 with the extra plate. He might still be 45-1 with the seven places. And then I've gone with Jason Day, 50-1. Nick Taylor, 100-1. Matthew Pavon, 125-1. And then we'll go into your top nationality bets, Brad.
All right. So shall I go in with the ACCA or... We'll leave the ACCA. I think I've said enough on that. Top 20, Gary Woodland. If I was going to have a bet on top 20, it would be Gary Woodland, 6-1. Top continental European, Olesen, 18-1. Labrits, you can boost that to 20-1. And top debutant, Austin Ekro, 20-1. Four places.
Absolutely. And then for me, I've gone with Thorbjørn Olesen, top 20, 9-2. I do like that Charles Schwartz or top South Africa 15-8. The more I look at it, I don't know if I want to get too much into the weeds with someone like Charles Schwartz, but there's something going on for that. I hadn't mentioned this one, but I kind of like Jason Day potentially in the top Australian. Just Minwui is injured. Cam Davis is terrible. Jasper Stubbs is, I don't know who he is. Adam Scott, I don't know where he is with his game. He's got to beat Cam Smith, basically. So that's that.
Cam Smith's been suffering with the flu as well.
Didn't he have food poisoning over the weekend as well?
He's
in all sorts of bother, isn't he? So
yeah. I missed out top amateur, Christo Lampret as well. Yeah,
Lampret. So I think that's it, mate. I think that's it. It's nicely summed up. It's got plenty of bets there. Hopefully people enjoy some of these side markets. Put them in the ACCA, like Brad just read out beautifully there. And we move. We go to Thursday. We hope we get plenty of play on Thursday. And
yeah, I'm worried we're not. It's going to be like that anticlimactic weather delay on Thursday, which is just probably the worst day you want it, really, because you're just so excited, aren't you? It builds all week and then suddenly the weather delay comes on. on Thursday. It's a real kick in the gonads.
We'll see, mate. Hopefully we're talking next week about how exciting the Masters was, how the weather wasn't quite as bad as it was, and how we won lots of money.
Let's hope so. I'm feeling confident.
Brad, thank you as ever, mate. Really appreciate you joining us in the middle of the day. Listeners will get to see this or hear this evening.